And, boy, they have certainly enjoyed me going to Big R and buying more food. Amen. And do they make a mess? They really make a mess. But that's the fun thing. That's the fun thing. When they make a mess, you know that they've been there. Amen. Take your Bible today and go to Romans chapter 15. This is the new year. And what a wonderful new year we've had. And 2013. How many thought you'd never make it? Yeah, I know, you shouldn't have. But anyway, most of us really don't believe we're going to make it. Isn't that an amazing thing? I know some of you have been in some situations this year that you shouldn't have made it. But because of God's grace and God's mercy, God allowed you to live. And to that we are very thankful. Amen? And then some that didn't make it, some that are with Jesus today. We thank God for that. We thank God for the promise that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means go to hell, but have everlasting life. That means go to heaven. And we're a fortunate people. We know that God loves us. I think of the psalm that the scriptures over there in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, the scripture tells us right at the end, it says, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I thank God Paul wrote there how that we can know that we're saved. And John, he wrote there, and this is the confidence that we have in him. And if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And Scripture in 5:10 and 5:13, it says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that ye have eternal life. That's a wonderful thing. You know, God never, never wanted us to be in the dark concerning our spiritual condition. That's why he gave us the Bible, the Holy Word of God, to show us how we can go to heaven. That's why he gives us preachers and missionaries and evangelists opportunities that would tell us that what the Bible says, we can know we go to heaven. It's a terrible thing for a person not to know that. And Jesus Christ says, all you have to do is call upon my name, and I'll save you. I'll save you forever. I'll write your name in the book of heaven. Boy, that's some good promises. Especially when this life is as crazy as it is. We don't know from day to day whether we've got tomorrow. None of us know that. We don't even have the hope of it in a few minutes, amen. But we do know one thing, that if we've invited Jesus Christ in our personal Savior, we're absent from this body, present with the Lord. What did Jesus say in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that... What? That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know the way. You know, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we do not know the whither goest, or how do we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you know you have to go to heaven through Jesus Christ? He's the door of heaven. That's the only way you're going to get there. Not through St. Peter. Oh, if I meet Peter at the door, I'll say, get out of the way, buddy. I'm looking for Jesus. Amen. And St. Peter ain't going to save you. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind. Well, I want to talk to you about the Word of God today. The Holy Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. This is a magnificent book. Amen. It is the greatest book that mankind has ever had in their hands. It is not just a book. It is, the Bible says, it is the living letters or the living Word of God. It is a love letter from God to you. And there is no greater classical book than the Bible. Many times people try to rewrite it and try to take everything from it and put it through it. But you know what? It just keeps coming up. Amen. And thank God for the Word of God. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about the Bible. I want to talk to you about the motive that we have by reading the Bible. Why am I motivated to read of the Word of God? The Bible says here in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read it, for whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now, it's talking about the Old Testament. That's what it's talking about. The things that are written aforetime, they're written for our learning. And so the Old Testament is good for us too, amen.
The Old Testament should be read. We should read the Word of God. We should study the Word of God. The Old Testament's good for us. It's for our learning. It's to teach us a few things. Amen. Fellas, if you're looking to marry a wife, you ought to go to Proverbs. You ought to go to Proverbs. You ought to read Proverbs over and over and over and over again. And praise God for the last chapter in Proverbs. It tells about the virtuous woman. For her price is far above rubies. And so read the Proverbs. Tells you who not to marry. Tells you to be careful about the brawling woman. Amen. I suppose you could say bawling woman too, but anyway. Talks about be careful of the brawling woman. You know, and he tells about how it's better to have a little soup of herbs, amen, than a great feast of steak and having a brawling woman, amen. And it tells you something. By the way, ladies, sorry, that book was written for the man, not for the woman. Boys are supposed to read Proverbs, amen. My suggestion to you read Proverbs every day. Today's the 6th. You ought to read Proverbs 6, chapter 6. Tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 7. Tuesday, Proverbs chapter 8. And on and on and on. Well, the Bible said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, I like that. God says, the Word of God will give us patience and comfort, what? Through the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans chapter 10 tells us this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's important that we read the Word of God. You notice you come to my house that the Bible many times is running. I have a Bible on DVD, and it plays over our TV, and even the pages turn. It reads it to you, and the pages turn. Man, you just have to sit there and watch it, amen, and listen, amen. And I have it on my phone, and I have it on my iPad. I've got it any place I can get it. I've got a little DVD, MP3 player that just has the King James Bible on it. And quite a few times I'll just put the earbuds in my ear and go to sleep listening to the Word of God. My wife, of course, has been through some pretty difficult times the last couple of years here, and we want the Word of God just constantly going to her. Listen, so she listens to the Word of God. It's good for her. It's therapeutic. It's encouragement. Amen. Well, in any given year, in America, hundreds, if not thousands, of new books are in the marketplace. And many of these books are self-help books, written and marketed with the promise of change and with improvement and better life and more money and on and on and on and on. Americans have an unquenchable thirst to better themselves. And they have a deep, nagging discontentment with who they are and where they are in life. And they want to change that. The sad news is that they spend millions, multi-millions of dollars on self-help industry. And by the way, the self-help industry is the one that is successful, but the strategies are not. The very success is founded upon the fact that new book, new diets, new strategies, new promises are needed annually. And today's strategies don't work any better than yesterday's strategy, but they sure do sell well. Man, if I can just get that one thing that'll really keep me going, that one thing that's really going to be a blessing and help to me, it's going to help me, and I'm going to buy that book. Deep within every man and woman is knowledge that we are broken and desperately needing improvement and personal change. And you'd all say, amen to that. Listen to the New Year resolutions and the tactics of personal discipline and strategy and positive thinking. Only it takes us so far. And the remake of the external for a season, but they are powerless in truly transforming us internally? No. For all the medical and psychological research and all our new books and magazines and talk shows and treatment centers and all the seminars and strategies and schemes for personal satisfaction, you find yourself more empty and increasingly hopeless. It's not getting done. Amen. If you're looking for a new book, a new diet, or a new self-help philosophy to motivate you, this usually ends up in a pathway of discouragement and disappointment. But ladies and gentlemen, there is one book. one source of truth that is eternally transforming and utterly and ultimately motivating. It's called the Living Book. It is a self-changing book. May I encourage you in this new year to read your Bible? May I encourage you every day you read your Bible, every day before you pick that newspaper up, read your Bible. I'm not asking you to do a dissertation about 5 or 6 hours. I'm not talking about it. I mean, just get yourself a good little snack, amen, in the morning. Maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, read your Bible and get on your knees and pray. You'd be surprised what it'll do in your life. You'd be surprised that it'll change your life, amen. The Living Word is a life-changing book. It is a book that will discern our hearts. Who can know my heart? The Bible says my heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'll tell you who can know it. The Lord God of heaven. He's the creator of us. And He has in this book, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing if you read your Bible, you start reading your Bible, all of a sudden, like that hits you, man, and say, whoa, that doesn't sound too good. And that's what I am. Well, that's what I've been doing. Well, that's what I've been thinking about. And you read that Bible, and what to do to get the Holy. And by the way, when you read it by yourself, and you don't have anybody looking over your back, you can read it and say, yeah, that's working on me, amen. Isn't it amazing when you got out, you get out in this world, and how you brag about this, brag about this, but boy, you get on your knees before a holy God, pretty hard to do some bragging, amen. Well, amen, hallelujah. Man, that's good preaching, brother. I know it, amen. I don't hear no amen out there. Oh, hi. Welcome back to the ranch. Amen. The Word of God is the greatest motivator and the greatest of all life.
Amen.
The Bible is my book. Dr. Paul Chappell relates in the Bible College student pastoring the weekends. He had the privilege to lead a man to the Lord, and this man was searching for answers all in the wrong places, but he finally come to the end of himself, and shortly after he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He began to walk personally with the Lord and read the Word of God. Over the months, the changes of him, you could see it, he said. This was true in the lasting change, transforming, generating the very words of God. Brother Chappell said that he was delighted when he received a letter from him several months after he had been saved. He recounted a great joy of being saved, the marvelous change that God had brought over in his life. One sentence jumped out of the page at him. He simply stated, "The Bible is my book. I read it often. The Bible is my book." I wish you'd make this your book. I wish you'd say, "This is my book." And by the way, it is your book. 66 books out of the Bible. It took about a couple thousand years to put it all together. And it was given to us for us to read, for us to love, for us to change our lives and change our hearts. And it is spiritual because it's living. Amen. God's Word changes us, number one. Every part of my life has been radically and undeniably changed by the Word of God. For devoted Christians, every major decision, every abundant blessing, every critical turning point, throughout by directing, going through the Word of God. Thousands of times in a Christian's life, he takes the Word of God and through reading and studying and hearing and teaching and hearing it preached, even as a child, God has dramatically altered our lives. He's altered our directions. The Word of God has the power to stir, to change, to motivate, like a human device cannot. The Word of God can. God Himself speaks to us through His pages, breathing fresh truth and courage and strength and hope into our soul. The times we sit down and we are exasperated, when we sit down and we have no way to turn, we go to the Word of God and all of a sudden, there's something. I remember a year and a half ago, up at the hospital with my dear sweet wife in intensive care, I was thumbing through my Bible, just thumbing to it, just looking for something. I needed something. I turned to Psalm 116. Listen to what I found. I love the Lord. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him all the days of my life. The sorrows of death compassed past me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver me. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I needed that. I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't know which way to go. I lived with this wife for 42 years. She was my sunshine in the morning, my moon at night. She was my sugar in my coffee.
Amen.
She was the yolk to my egg. She was the nuts to my cinnamon rolls. She did special. The greatest thing ever happened to my life. And there she was, not breathing on her own. All kinds of tubes, all kinds of wires sticking out of her. That old machine just breathing for her. Ding, 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 bang, bang. Some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. And you know which way to turn. I tell you where you turn. You turn to the Word of God. That motivates me to live greater, because I know that God lives and he loves me and cares for me. And I go to him and I see these verses here and I said, good night. I love the Lord. Why do I love the Lord? Because he has heard my voice. And my supplication.
Amen.
Voices, oh God, I don't know what to do. Supplication, oh God, what you do? You have to do? Show me something. What do you want me to do? That's supplicating, amen. And then when he comes out and he says, gracious Lord and gracious, yea, righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. And I said, boy, I know you're talking about me right there, the simple. I'm just a simple old farm boy from Michigan. Somehow I got off that John Deere tractor, put on a football helmet in college, and all of a sudden ended up being a preacher. I don't know how in the world that happened, but it happened. I don't know you, but I need something. I don't need somebody just tell me what's going on. I need a holy God of heaven that let me know that this is what's happening in my life. There's trouble and sorrow. All of us know that. There's not a person in this room didn't have some kind of trouble or some kind of sorrow this week, didn't you? Maybe somebody spoke unkind to you. Maybe something broke down. Maybe something, you need to buy a new one. Maybe you had to get rid of the old one. I don't know what, you know. Maybe the kids are not acting right. Maybe your husband's not acting right. Well, that's all the time anyway. But anyway, and maybe the wife, you know. Some kind of trouble, some kind of sorrow happened to you. Well, I don't know about you, but I need something more than just me. I need somebody to get me through this thing. And God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Every time we open the Word of God, we avail ourselves to the very presence and the power of the Holy God of heaven. It is a living, breathing book, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, it effectually worketh. It's effective to those who believe. This is when you can go to bed at night and you can say, you know what, I don't understand. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to get that taken care of. I don't know how that's going to, but I know one thing. That he's not going to leave me, nor he's not going to forsake me, and he'll never take me into something I cannot withstand or provide a way of escape. God is going to take care of me. Amen. You have this. This is what motivates us to read the Word of God, because we know it is living. And if you have an experience, enjoyment of reading a living Bible, boy, you've missed a lot already. This promise simply means that as we read God's Word with a believing and a receptive heart, it works in you in ways you cannot see or feel. It effectively brings about personal transformation. It renews the mind. It reconstruction of our thoughts and rebuilding my character and revising my behavior. I should not act like that. This world owes me something. Wrong answer. And no, the president isn't your daddy. This world owes you nothing. You came into this world to be glory and honor to the God Almighty who created you. You are His servant. Servants do not have any commands. Servant has yes, sir, or yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Well, it's just not fair.
Well, there's a lot of things you're not fair at, by the way. And neither am I. But this will put you back on compass and course. This will remind us how stupid we're thinking, ignorant we're thinking, and say, whoa, wait a minute. What am I here for anyway? Every time you open your Bible, you are lying down on God's surgical table and allowing Him to do some spiritual and eternal work in your heart. You take that Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, You teach me. And dear God, You lead me on what it tells me to do. And I want to be Yours and I want to do what You want me to do. Amen. Amen. The Word of God, the Bible says, never returns void. That means that's a promise to you. Every time you read the Word of God, God promises you something. It always accomplishes that which is purpose to accomplish. Isaiah 55:11. Secondly, the powerful and positive effectiveness of the Bible motivates me to read my Bible. The powerful and positive effects of the Bible. Throughout Scripture, God tells many specific blessings to come to our lives through His Word. I'm going to give you some today. Number one, God's Word is given by God. He said it's profitable. I don't know about you, but I like profitable things. I don't like to lose money, no more than you do. And God's Word said, if you read the Word of God, it's profitable to you. Good night. If I didn't have a Bible, I'd run me one down and just buy one just so I could get profitable. Amen. What does the Bible say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching. That's teaching how we ought to live in this world. For reproof, that means getting after you. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. For correction, that's straightening you up. For instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. God's Word also is alive and discerns our heart. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I read this Word of God, and there's some things in my life that are not right, and God's speaking to my heart, and He takes that sword that's sharper than a two-edged sword, and starts to work on me, amen. And He points it right there, buddy. You might want to think you're hiding it from everybody, but you're not hiding it from me because I'm the Lord God of heaven. Oh, you can fool your preacher. And you can fool your Sunday school teacher. And you can fool the members of Heritage Baptist Church, but bless God, you ain't going to fool God, amen, because He knows everything. But wouldn't it be great, moms and dads, that you had the mind of Christ? And when your little Johnny says, I didn't do it, you knew that little rascal did it. I've told this many times, I can't wait to tell again. I was sitting in Sunday school class. My Aunt Mabel was my Sunday school teacher. I was sitting right next to her. Next to me was Paul Havens. Paul Havens was pinching me on the thigh right here, and I was doing the heebie-jeebie, the jumpy dance in Sunday school class. My Aunt Mabel was a very stern disciplinarian. I mean, she'd
rip your head off and spit down the bloody butt of it if she could. Amen. That's the kind of woman she was. She'd grab your arm off and rip it off and beat you over the head with it. I mean, that's just the way my Aunt Mabel was. But I loved her. She's a wonderful lady. But I was sitting in Sunday school, and that rascal was pinching me, and I kept saying, "Ouch, quit that, ouch." And he was a poker face. Man, he could just do it and didn't even know he was doing it. She said, "Shout it. If you don't sit up, I'm going to send you to your mama." Well, what's new? I said, "But he's pinching me." She says, "No, he's not. Look at that nice little boy." And I thought, oh, brother. God knew what that boy was doing. Aunt Mabel didn't know. I did. I had about 5 black and blue bruises on my thigh when I got home. And Paul Heyman knew what he was doing. But my Aunt Mabel didn't. Hey, you can act like that all you want, but I'll tell you something. There's a God in heaven knows everything about you. You make some old silly excuse that sounds good. Nobody's going to question you about it. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows it all, amen. God knows all about it. God knows why you're not here. God knows why you're not there. God knows where you should be. But the Word of God is alive and discerns the heart. Number 3, the Word of God effectually works in us. This is what it says, Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, as the word of God is perfect and sure, right and pure. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Also, God's word purifies our life. And we all need that, amen? We all need our purification. We need to be pure. And the Bible says, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Psalm 119, verse 9. God's word enlightens and directs our paths. Psalm 119, 105. "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know what? If we'd read this word of God, there are certain places we wouldn't go. The word of God gives true success and prosperity. "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success." Joshua 1:8. I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of people really hurting financially. You know, I would think that it'd probably be a good idea that you'd read your Bible. Because God said, if you read the Bible and you meditate, then He said, "I'm going to make your life prosper." You may not have money, but things may not break down. You may not have a lot of money, but at least you're paying the bills, amen? God said, we, as a Christian, if we read the Word of God, He said, I'll be prosperous with you. The Word of God also gives understanding. And boy, I don't know about you, but if you got kids, you need some of that stuff, amen? Some understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "Fear the Lord in the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And how can I get the knowledge of the holy unless I read my Bible? The Word of God is written about the Word of God. It's written about God. It helps us to be holy. The Word of God also tells us, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Psalm 119, verse 130. 9, God's word is eternally valuable. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, purified 7 times." Psalm 12, 6. When we are weary, God's Word encourages us. You ever get weary? Amen. Just tired of it? You go to the Word of God and encourage you. When you seek answers, God's words will guide you. When you need strength, God's Word will revive you. When you face a trial, God's Word will sustain you. When you enter into despair, God's Word will give you hope. When you need wisdom, disconnected from the most vital source of nourishment and motivation, you go to the Word of God. Too often we run first to our own devices, and God's Word becomes the last thought. As you allowing God's priceless Word to replace or undermine by other influence of your life. Some people say, well, man, I've got this problem. I'll just Google it. I'll figure it out there. Find it out there. Maybe I just won't do nothing about it. Other things distract me. I neglect it. When you make a serious question about the life, you need to go to God. You need to go to God. Seeking understanding God's truth should be our first thoughts in our lives and questions. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, it's talking about the Word of God, and hide my commandments with thee, the commandments, that's the Word of God, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up the voice of understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Where do you get that? You get that from the Word of God. You need to read the Bible. You need strength in the Word of God. Anchor your life on God's Word. Immerse your heart into the truth. Schedule time and daily to read it. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate. Listen to me. Day and night he meditates on the Word of God, day and night. That's how we get better. Listen, this is a new year. You ought to say, you know, by God's grace and God's help, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm not going to slack. I'm going to read it every day. I'm not talking about 2-3 hour dissertation. Just a few minutes reading the Word of God. Just encourage yourself in it. Have you ever found you reading the Word of God? Someone asked a preacher, hey, preacher, how much do you read the Word of God? And he said, I read the Word of God until it started burning in my heart. Sometimes it only takes a few verses. And then you meditate on that Word. Sometimes it takes a chapter. Sometimes it takes a whole book. But you meditate on the Word of God. Look into the Word of God. See what God has for you. Truly, this is the path of good success, is reading the Word of God. Jesus made his main goal in his earthly life to what? Do I want to do my Father's will. His main message to mankind was, keep my commandments. If you're my friend, you keep my commandments. In other words, you will do what the Bible says. How do I know what the Bible says unless I read it? We're going to all stand before a holy... You know what's amazing? Brother Jim Price is just down here from the Duke up by Edmonton, came down here. And, boy, I can't remember. Something like 24 or 36,000. We sent John Romans to Nigeria and sent him there the other day. And Jim and I were talking about it. He said, Brother Sherry, he said, you realize these people don't have a Bible. And we know by statisticians that tell us that a John Romans sent over to Nigeria, that little pamphlet of John Romans will be read 6 to 8 times. 6 to 8 times. But I think we're only like sending 36,000 volumes over to them, to a country that's millions of people. I've been in the Philippines and saw them Filipino preachers. And One year we had a world mission conference over there. Over 800 preachers came to this mission conference that we preached in. And we gave them all a brand new Schofield Bible. And they came with their Bibles. And many of them have less than the whole page in there. And they're ripped and torn. And when they got those Bibles, I never seen anything like it. You couldn't give $1 million to those boys to be more happy. They had a whole Bible. One preacher says, "Man, now I got the whole counsel of God." He says, "I was missing a few pages for many years." How many Bibles do you have in your house? I got a stack of them. There's people out there that don't even have a Bible. Don't you think that it would be a pretty good idea if you who have the Bible read it? If not, why don't you send it to Nigeria? Let somebody use it that could use it. This Bible's not for dust sitting on the couch. It reminds me of a little boy. His mama said, "Honey," the preacher came to the house, said, "Honey, go get the favorite book." And he came and gave her the Reader's Digest. Get our favorite book. What is your favorite book of your home? Is it the Word of God? The Word of God also motivates us into practice. The Word of God motivates us to practice. It's incredible. It's incomparable. Incomprehensible treasures, the Word of God, available in our very fingertips. You can have your Bible on your iPad, your iPod, your whatever you have, you know, your Samsung, Samsui, whatever you got, you know, your BlackBerry, your Huckleberry, whatever you got, amen. You can have it all, man, any place you want. You can have the Bible, amen. But you need to read it. You need to read your Bible. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to memorize it. You need to apply it. And above all, you need to seek God through it. God reveals Himself through the Word of God, He tells us. And as we seek His face through the pages of Scripture, He draws nigh to us. And meditate on God's promises available and through His Word, remembering the treasures contained in the Scripture will motivate us to personally seek the blessing for ourselves. Psalm 19, we discover the specific how God uses the Word of God. Study Psalm 119. Practically every verse of Psalm 119, 175 of them, you can study them, and every one of those verses, practically everyone talks about the Word of God. Periodically take a personal inventory of specific ways on God recently changed your life through His Word. Inspire Word of God. Have the power to transform lives. It has the power to transform our thoughts, to transform our habits, to transform our desires, the choices, the pattern of living. But this only happens when we give attendance to the Word of God. As you periodically pause to list the positive changes in God's life, first, you will rejoice that God has done in your life and will grow in your love for the Word of God. Secondly, you will see that while you may be around Scripture, you may have not been recently changed in it. You need to read the Word of God. This prompts us to seek and search our heart, to renew our hunger for the truth, effective changes in our life. And when it changes our life, it changes our ministry. Every one of you need a ministry. Every one of you should have a ministry. What is your ministry today? Truly, we have nothing to give others outside the truth, the Word of God. And one of the most energizing experiences of the ministry is watching the Word of God at work in another person's life, in whatever place, in whatever capacity. When's the last time you sat down with this blessed, loving Word of God and sat down and just enjoyed it? The Word of God talks about the Bible as the bread of life. As we'd eat the Word of God and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. Everybody ought to have a Bible. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my iPhone. I've got it in my back pocket. I carry my New Testament with me all the time. I'm out hunting, I got it in my pocket. I'm out fishing, I got it in my pocket. I'm riding my motorcycle, I got it in my pocket. It helps if you fall off. You got something to help you there, amen. I I have it when I'm preaching. I have it on duty. I'm just wanting you to know that you ought to have the Word of God with you. And you ought to have it in your heart. And you ought to live by it. And it'll help you. And encourage you. And those down days, you go to the Word of God, and those days you don't know which way to turn. Down there. You know, sometimes we get into places, the only way we can turn is up this look. Amen. And God says, you read my Bible. Somebody says, well, God's not with me. Yes, He is. His Word of God is with you. He's in your heart, if you invite Him to come in your heart. But the Word of God can be with you any place, anywhere. You can take it in with you. And by the way, it would be a good idea to memorize it. The other night I was laying in bed and I couldn't get to sleep. And I started saying some of the memory verses that I'd memorized when I was a little boy and when I was in college. And now I just saying a few scriptures. This morning I woke up, and man, I was having a hard time getting up. Amen. You ever have one of those days? Man, oh man. Clock is ticking and I got to get up. Have mercy. I said to myself, I don't want to get up. I said, leg, move. And my left leg said, I ain't moving. I said, why not? He said, because I'm always moving, getting out of bed. I want the right leg to go first today. Laying there and I was just quoting some scripture. All things work together for good to them that love God and them called according to His purpose. You ought to have the Word of God in your heart. You're not being much of a Christian if you don't have God's Word in your heart. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pretty hard to keep the commandments when you don't even know them. May I encourage you today, at the start of this new year, that you would say, by God's grace, I'm going to read the scriptures. By God's grace, I'm going to get to the Word of God. Father in heaven, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming and getting for us. And Lord, we wouldn't know these things if we didn't have the Word of God. So I pray, God, that you'd just speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, today that we come close to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I may not talk much about this today, but I want you to know that there's a God in heaven that loves you very much. And He died on the cross for you. And He promises you everlasting life. Has there been a time in your life that you have asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and asked Him to come in your heart? Has there been a time you've said, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner, and forgive me my sins and be my Savior today? I guess what I'm asking is, do you have a home in heaven? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? I hope that you would. I hope that you would. But if you haven't, you've come to the right place, because God's Word said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? If not, why don't you invite Him today? Your head bowed, eyes closed today. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to know that. Right there where you're sitting, why don't you pray this prayer? Just pray to God and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. And if you did that, why don't you thank and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you promised me a home in heaven. And you forgive me of my sins. You hear today and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer today. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful.